for LA Times Studios and The Real. I'm Mark Olson, and we're here on the day of the Emmy nominations announcement and to sort of go over the nominations and to figure out what it all means in the bigger picture of our current television landscape. I'm joined by two of my colleagues. I have...
I'm Glenn Whipp. I write about TV and movies and cover the Emmys for The Times.
And I'm Yvonne Villarreal, and I also cover TV.
And now maybe to sort of get the sort of most sweeping kind of big picture version of what these nominations mean, it seems like much of the coverage that's happened so far has to do with the fact that Netflix, for the first time, has had the most nominations overall. They had 112 nominations, beating out HBO, which has been the leader in nominations for many years, which came in with 108, although they did have the most for a single show, which was for Game of Thrones with 22. Glenn, is this some kind of a turning point? Like, is the fact that between Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu, and there may even be some platforms I'm missing there, that they seem to be the ones who really have kind of the pole position when it comes to Emmys. Is this something different?
I mean, it's hard to stop Netflix right now. It's just this giant behemoth that's, you know, they take out this huge space in Hollywood now. They have events throughout the Emmy season. They had dozens this year.
Every single day,
every single night, and the huge ones, you know, Jerry Seinfeld interviewing David Letterman, Jamie Foxx interviewing Barbara Streisand, and they have a lot of money to spend, and spend it they are.
But is the volume of nominations they get also a reflection of the volume of programming that they have? The fact that, I mean, I don't know what the breakdown of the numbers are on that, but I'm presuming that those 112 nominations are spread out over a much higher volume of shows than the relative sort of boutique programming of HBO.
Yeah, they're all over the map. And at volume, you know, HBO can't match that right now. I kind of wonder, you know, their big prestige drama this fall was The Deuce, which got, I would assume, zero, right? Well, let's say it didn't do well. There's so many categories that, yeah, we shouldn't say definitively because it could have popped up in best period costuming or whatever. You know, it struck out there, maybe a little fallout from the James Franco Me Too backlash. But that's one area. They've had a little bit of difficulty developing new dramas that land with Emmy voters.
And I know that also the Paterno, the television film that they had with Al Pacino, did not get nominated as Joe Paterno. And some people were surprised by that, although the movie itself did get a nomination.
And Michael B. Jordan, star of Fahrenheit 451, was not nominated too. Yeah, HBO used to be a slam dunk when it comes to those TV movies. And this year, not the case. And this year they didn't have Big Little Lies, too, which I don't know how many nominations that pulled in last year, but it was a lot. They didn't have that limited series to help them. Next year they will with Sharp Objects.
But also this year the networks, the traditional television networks, actually had a slight uptick in the number of nominations that they had. Was this, even though all we talk about are the streaming platforms, was this a good year for the networks?
I mean, yes. This Is Us, Milo and Sterling getting a nomination in the same category. Was that something you predicted?
Yes.
Yes.
And Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
It's insane.
After a so-so season, right?
I like today's Emmy nominations a lot. There was a lot of pleasant surprises. But the one thing I could not figure out for the life of me was all the Saturday Night Live cast members, five of them getting nominations for supporting actor or supporting actress. And this was the season, not only a so-so season, but this was the season where everybody was writing stories about the Saturday Night Live cast not being given enough opportunities to show what they can do. It was all the guest people coming in, taking up the time. And yet, five were nominated. It's weird.
And now, do you have any sense of why that is?
Apparently, Emmy voters watch Saturday Night Live and really like it. But yeah, I don't understand because, again, a real running complaint among fans of Saturday Night Live is how little the show has been making an effort to develop its cast and give them opportunities to become established cast people like Kristen Wiig. I mean, really, think of Saturday Night Live, you think of Kate McKinnon. And she's the one who deserves a nomination, And the others, it's just head-scratcher for me.
I don't know. I have to say, personally, I was happy to see Kenan Thompson get a nomination. Then you read that he had not been nominated for all these years. There's just something so lovable about that guy. And I think he has been such a sort of a reliable sort of utility player on that show for so long that it's funny. I don't necessarily think of Saturday Night Live, I think just because of its longevity, you don't necessarily think of that as like, it should be winning Emmys type of show. So to see it recognized with these kind of nominations, to me, my brain just doesn't naturally go to like, and Saturday Night Live will get a bunch of Emmy nominations. But I think if it's gonna, seeing Kenan nominated is nice.
Yeah, you can't not like Kenan Thompson.
But I think that brings up, maybe if we look at like the sort of the top level categories, like comedy and drama, that there is this tension between new shows and traditional shows among the Emmy nominations. And I think last year in the drama category, it was notable, we've talked about this before, that there were so many new shows, and now those are returning shows. And so they're comfortable, they're sort of like in that returning nominating position. Were there any new dramas that maybe should have knocked any of those shows out?
I mean, we talked about this in our Emmy meeting, but for sure I knew Sandra Oh would break through. There was a part of me hoping that Killing Eve would push Westworld out.
That was my hope. That was what I wrote quite a bit about. I mean, Westworld had 21 nominations. So again, and HBO does this very well, despite coming up a little shy of Netflix this year. But 21 nominations does indicate that there are a lot of people who dig the convoluted nature of this show. I'm a little bit frustrated by it myself. But what a great nomination for Sandra Oh and Killing Eve. I think that was the one drama. It debuted in the spring. It was picking up viewership as it went along for its first season run. And I think next year, with the Americans gone, with Westworld probably getting a little bit of an attrition on its viewership, I think Killing Eve could make it in.
And now, Yvonne, you actually spoke to Sandra Oh today after her nomination, and maybe tell me a little bit about what her kind of mood was and also why people are so excited about this nomination for her.
Because she's badass. I mean, Killing Eve marks her sort of first leading TV role. And today marks her first nomination as a lead actress in a drama. And that's significant because it's the first time a person of Asian descent has been nominated in this category. I mean, the Emmys have been around for 70 years. Well, this will be the 70th one. And that's huge. I mean, what does that say? We're in 2018 and this is the first time it's happening. And yet it's not surprising either, considering like 3 years ago was the first time a Black woman won in the category, which was Viola Davis for How to Get Away with Murder. So
what was Sandra's mood today when you talked to her? And what did she say about the fact that this is such a notable first?
Well, I love she was like in her London flat getting ready to start production on season 2. You know, she was saying she was on the patio drinking wine, and I was telling her, like, how much of it is pride that you are breaking this barrier, and how much of it is, like, I don't know if disappointment's the right word, but, like, what it says that this is how long it's taken.
Like, and frustration.
The frustration, yeah. And she was sort of saying, you know, I'm happy about this moment. I realize where we're at. I realize all the work we have to do. And she's like, it's about the future. Like, this is a big moment for a 12-year-old girl who might see this on Instagram and see that this is possible, which is a huge thing. And we've seen the response on the internet. People are really ecstatic about this.
But now, Glenn, tell me the fact that Sandra got this nomination, but the show did not get nominated. Her co-star, Jodie Comer, did not get nominated. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I think, did not get nominated.
She got nominated for writing.
Oh, did she? Yes. Oh, fantastic, yeah. Fantastic. What do you think, given the overall sort of nominations picture for the show, where does that kind of put Sandra as far as the win?
It's interesting to see the response today. If you had asked me yesterday who I thought was going to win lead actress drama this year, I would have said Elizabeth Moss will repeat for Handmaid's Tale. Very interesting to see the response today, the enthusiasm, the excitement. I think she has a shot. Going back to what Yvonne was talking about, just that combination of being thrilled and being frustrated, it's amazing. And that's been like the response on social media today, too. People excited for her and then just aghast that it's taken 70 years for this to happen. But it seems like every year now at the Emmys, we're having some history being made. Last year, Donald Glover, first black director to win for comedy. I guess you can say it's progress, but then you just look back and go, oh my God.
But now how much, I mean, considering the fact I'm right now kind of playing out of my mind what that acceptance speech would look like and what a powerful moment that would be on the show on the night. Do you think that voters think about that stuff at all when they're filling out their ballots?
Yeah, I think so. But I've been wrong before.
But the thing is, too, it's like...
Like I thought Kerry Washington was going to win yeah, one year. Yeah. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know, this is a chance to make history.
But it's also like not like just doing it because of it. Like she is very deserving of this nomination and she would be deserving of a win. It wouldn't be just, you know.
Oh, she's so good on the show.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, when you're judging art, you know, these intangibles do come into play in the back of people's minds.
And then talk a little bit about The Americans. I think it did pretty well today as far as nominations, having just wrapped up with its series finale. Do you think there's going to be some sort of enthusiasm and momentum for the show and people wanting to pay tribute to the series in the voting?
If you had asked me yesterday, maybe I would have said Kerry Russell. Maybe Kerry Russell would have had that chance. But the thing about The Americans, I always feel like it's been more respected than loved. And
well, I love it, too.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't nominated for series last year. It came back this year, deservedly so. It was just a near-perfect final season. I don't think people love it enough. There's not going to be that sense of, oh, this is our last chance. Let's send it out in style. I think if Noah Emmerich had picked up a nomination for supporting actor drama, then that would have been a sign.
It was such a good season, though. I mean, that finale was amazing.
Yeah, one of the great finales.
One of the great finales. I mean, maybe people will find it over the summer, but yeah, I don't know how much of a chance it has.
And now talk to me a little bit. Both Donald Glover and Bill Hader each received 5 nominations. Donald Glover for Atlanta, Bill Hader for Barry. Writing, directing, starring in their shows, they each got guest nominations for their appearances on Saturday Night Live. Does that mean that it's going to be a big showdown between the two of them sort of all night long? What does it mean that these kind of multi-hyphenate talents are recognized in that way? Is it then difficult to know like where they should win?
They can do it all, can't they? And I think these are the nominations. It's a thrill to be nominated. It's one thing to be nominated. It's another thing to go on and win. It was great to see Bill Hader's co-star Henry Winkler nominated today for supporting
first
actor.
First nomination?
Is that true?
Is that true?
That's what I want to say that I read, which I think also speaks
Let
to the just the change in what the meaning of the Emmys are. But thinking about both Bill Hader and Donald Glover, it makes me think about Pamela Adlon and the fact that she was recognized in lead actress for a comedy, which you can tell me how much of a surprise you feel that was. But she could also have been recognized as a writer, as a director, both sort of in a, like a cross-category, essentially auteur way as Hader and Glover. How surprised were you by that she got any nomination at all, considering the situation that her show Better Things is in? Or do you think that that really just a little bit of recognition for her was like kind of the best they could have been hoping for?
Well, I think people recognize that she is the voice of this show. Like, yes, she works closely with Louis, but this is her show. I mean, she's directed all the episodes. She's written or co-written everything. This is her baby. And I think it would almost be a slap in the face if she wasn't nominated because of a man's transgressions. Like, it's not her scandal. She's expressed her dismay at the situation. I don't know. What do you think?
My worry was that it was a fall show and it was over in November and people would somehow forget it. It's kind of a small show in a way. It's deeply personal. It's about this mother and her daughters and their journey. But, you know, I came back when I was making my predictions and I put her in probably as much for wishful as and advocacy as much as thinking it happened. I'm glad that she was nominated, very much deserved. And yeah, going back to your point, she directed every episode this season, and some of them were fantastically shot. It'd be nice to see her in season three be recognized for writing and for directing. This year is going to be different for her because she's working in a writer's room for the first time. The show will probably be a little bit different. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
Building up to the nominations, we talked quite a bit about how much the real world and things were happening outside of just the shows themselves were going to have an impact on the nominations. I mean, I think we're talking about Arrested Development. We're talking about The Deuce, like you mentioned, Glenn. And maybe the big one will be Roseanne as well. And so Roseanne did pick up two nominations. What does that mean? What is kind of the impact of the sort of like meta narratives and the outside world on these nominations that we saw today? Yvonne, I think the show was nominated both for Laurie Metcalf as a supporting actress and also I believe was in an editing category. I mean, this may speak to just how many categories the Emmys do have. But were you surprised to see, you know, Roseanne the show get nominated and be mentioned today at all?
Yes and no. I mean, I can't really speak to the editing categories because I don't know who else is nominated.
You haven't burrowed into those yet, huh?
Yeah. But in terms of what Laurie Metcalf brought to that role, I mean, from the beginning, people were talking about, I mean, she's a force on the screen, on stage, and she's really good in this part. So in that way, no. But obviously, yeah, there were questions surrounding how the scandal of Roseanne Barr would impact its chances.
One of my favorite nominations that I've seen so far today, Viola Davis nominated for her character from How to Get Away with Murder, but for her guest appearance
on Scandal.
So that's a role that she has won the lead actress drama category for, like a character. And that just speaks again to, I think, how many categories there are, how broad ranging it is. Glenn, are there any sort of like oddball nominations like that or sort of like really unusual things that you spotted as you were going over the nominations today?
No. I mean, there are so many categories. I have not gone past the first 30. But I'm sure there are. The one that you mentioned is definitely kind of the most fun.
I saw the critic Emily Yoshida, who writes for Vulture, that she mentioned how it seems like the attitude and the spirit around Emmy nominations is so much more positive than the spirit around, Glenn, say, the Oscar nominations, where people tend to definitely be more like upset about something. Do you think that's because the fact that there are so many Emmy nominations that kind of like everybody gets a little something? So it's like it can be more broad ranging and smaller shows can get little bits of recognition where because of sort of like that tight circle of Oscar nominations, that's why it tends to create like a grumpier atmosphere around it.
I mean, that could be, it could also be like the 6-month death march to the Oscars and how long it takes and how weary everyone is by the time the Oscars roll around. I mean, the thing I loved about the Emmys this year that I haven't seen as much in the past, it just felt like people were watching TV this year. Like last year, Better Call Saul, Michael McKean wasn't nominated, and Jonathan Banks was, even though Michael McKean dominated that season, and his storyline with Bob Odenkirk, the bitter rivalry between the brothers that ended in tragedy. And Michael McKean had a ton of screen time. Jonathan Banks barely had any, but then Jonathan Banks had been nominated for both the first two seasons, so of course he'd be nominated for a third season. This year, I kind of feel like that kind of rubber stamping was a little bit less. I was worried about Yvonne Strahovski for Handmaid's Tale. She wasn't nominated first season. And this second season,
amazing.
Yeah, she dominated the storyline with this really complicated portrayal of a woman who we hated and then kind of grew to understand a little bit more and still kind of hated, but made us feel empathy for her. She was nominated along with Alexis Bledel and Ann Dowd. And that just showed to me that, and then all the other women in the guest category, but that just showed me that people were watching the show and paying attention. I haven't always had that feeling with the Emmys, which has made them, for me, frustrating to cover. I sensed that a little bit more this year.
Are we going to talk about Modern Family finally getting out of the comedy category?
Well, tell me about it. What is there to say about Modern Family?
I mean, it's been like this dominant force in this category for how long?
8 years.
8 years. All 8 seasons. And it felt like it was just, you know, just never going to leave.
Say what you will about it. It feels like the most traditional sitcom among the comedy categories, and maybe that was in some ways both its kind of its blessing and its curse. What do you think it was replaced by? Like, did Glow get the slot for that? Did Marvelous Mrs. Maisel get the slot for that? Like, what is maybe the sensibility that has replaced the sensibility of Modern Family?
I do think it's like a Glow and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, because it's like these smaller shows that maybe, well, one, we don't know what their ratings are. These shows aren't ones that, like, I hear all my friends talking about. Whereas I do hear a lot more people talking about Modern Family, like, out in the real world, beyond this echo chamber. Do you disagree with that?
Oh, no. And to be fair, I think Modern Family very much earned.
No, for all those. Sure. No, that has,
but,
yeah.
But it's just, all shows, yeah. Just about every show reaches a point in its run.
Where it should, like, bow out.
And last year we thought that was the year for Modern Family, but it came back for its eighth season. What's interesting this year for Emmys is that eight shows were nominated for comedy. There was, like, a bonus show in there, and that bonus show, still Modern Family, was ignored.
And I want to be sure to ask about Glow, simply because it was intriguing to me. Betty Gilpin received a nomination, but Alison Brie did not. When I think about that show, I certainly think about the two of them. And so to sort of single one out over the other seems unusual to me.
They both had dynamic arcs.
Yeah.
And Betty plays Debbie on the show, who's, you know, this, like, you know, blonde Barbie doll and, you know, soap opera actress. And, you know, her best friend, who's Ruth, played by Allison, like, sleeps with her husband. And, you know, her life is sort of, like, goes to shambles. You're right. Like, the two of them together, what they both brought out of each other in these roles and seeing them in these types of empowerment and, like, finding their inner strength and, like, coming together. It was both dynamic, but I guess you only have room for one. Were you surprised that it was Betty over Allison, Glenn?
I was a little surprised because Glow was nominated and Betty was nominated. And you think of the show, you kind of
think of
Alison Brie. You know,
but is that just a tough category? Is that lead?
We've mentioned Pamela Adlon. We've mentioned Allison Janney, who's always nominated for everything she does. I'm not a huge fan of Mom, but Mom's not really made for me, I don't think. Rachel Brosnahan, you know, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Then a great nomination in this category was Issa Rae for Insecure.
Yes.
And then Lily Tomlin's back again. Tracy Ellis Ross is back again. So
it's hard to find a spot.
It's hard to find a spot. I mean, I could find a spot, but these are all popular women on shows people like. Maybe next year. I know Glow second season has been really well received, so she can be back.
I know whenever there's a big nominations day like this, everybody, the two words on everybody's lips, snubs and surprises. Everybody likes to talk about snubs and surprises. So what, for the two of you, Glenn, what would you say was your maybe most positive surprise today?
Trevor Noah for The Daily Show. I thought last year he could break through for his second year hosting the show. I thought last year he really found his voice. And his comedy was very sharp and biting and sometimes angry and always funny. And he wasn't nominated last year, but this year he broke through, I guess, in a spot that some people saw Seth Meyers would get. Some people thought Fallon might come back. But I think Noah, I was surprised and thrilled for him.
I mean, obviously, Sandra, I was happy to see. I was also happy to see Ted Danson get a nomination. Very happy for that. I was surprised, but maybe I shouldn't have been, that of the reboots, Curb Your Enthusiasm got in versus Will and Grace. I thought Will and Grace would have gotten that. I don't know.
And then snubs. Glenn, did you have someone you would have expected to see nominated that didn't get nominated?
I am aghast that Kyle MacLachlan was not nominated for Twin Peaks: The Return. Say what you will, if you were just completely baffled by that show, and I imagine that most voters watched 1.5 episodes and probably gave up. But he played several different characters in that show. I mean, kind of variations of different personas of the Cooper persona. And God, he was just amazing. I was shocked that he was nominated.
Yvonne, were there any snubs that jumped out at you?
Aside from Kyle, I mean, nothing really sticks out. I was shocked by that because, like, what he had to pull off for that season is a lot.
And I will take this as an opportunity to stand up for a show that I always really loved, Halt and Catch Fire,
yes.
Which was a show that was about people who never quite made it mm-hmm. in life and were maybe always kind of getting in their own way in one way or another. So the idea that, like, the show never really caught on with the ratings, it doesn't get Emmy nominated, even in its, like, really terrific, you know, finale season, as heartbreaking as it is also completely on theme for the show itself that they not get any nominations.
They're staying on brand. That is a show that speaks to my soul because it's like, I feel the pain.
With that, I think we're going to wrap it up. And so, Glenn, people who want to kind of follow and catch more of your award season coverage, where should they look for you?
Well, I'm in The Envelope, print and online, and you can follow me at Glenn Whip, 2 N's, 2 P's.
And you can find me on Twitter at @Viarilli. That's 2 L's, 2 R's.
And you can find me, of course, online at IndieFocus. And so for LA Times Studios and The Real, I'm Mark Olson. Thanks for listening.